Liberating structures are really easy to learn, they're easy to facilitate, and they build real engagement in groups. We've been using them for a while now, and if you know us, you know how excited we are about liberating structures and their possibilities. But one thing we've learned is that coming up with good invitations or questions to start a liberating structure really is 90% of the work. And in this episode, we're going to share some of the lessons we've learned and are indeed still learning. Hey there, welcome to a new episode of the Liberators Network podcast. My name is Christian Verwijs, and I'm actually currently recording this while sitting under a blanket. That works really well for the acoustics, at least I hope, but it doesn't work so well for the temperature, because right now in the Netherlands we're experiencing a heat wave, so I'm recording this early in the morning, so that hopefully I can do something else after this that does not involve sitting under a blanket. But it also means that my voice may be a bit raw from, well, just getting up. So let's see how things go. Enjoy the episode. Crafting powerful invitations for liberating structures. Most liberating structures start with something called an invitation. It's one of the five micro-organizing elements that each liberating structure is specified on. The invitation is the question or the topic you want people to explore with the liberating structure you have in mind. So for the liberating structure impromptu networking, it can be something like, what is it that you hope to get from and give to this group here today? For Tris, it could be something like, what can we do to reliably guarantee that we'll fail to achieve our goal? Considering these invitations merely as questions doesn't do them justice, and this is something we discovered through repeated failure. Although liberating structures are really easy to learn, we've had a rocky start when it comes to writing good invitations or coming up with good questions to start each structure. We started out with not so successful invitations like, what do you like about Scrum? How do you feel about working in pairs? Or what is a question you have for today? One thing we noticed about these invitations was that they didn't spark real deep conversations. People simply exchanged their views and that was it. It was all rather flat. And combined with our own learning and the creative input from Keith McCandless and Fisher Qua and many of the other liberating structures pioneers, we started to see that our invitations demonstrated that we were still missing the point of liberating structures. What we didn't get. When you start with liberating structures, and especially when you read some of the wonderfully creative examples of invitations from the official website, it's easy to come away wondering, how are people ever going to get that invitation? Take the potential invitation for a user experience fishbowl. What is the good, the bad, and the ugly about a topic? What if people don't understand the words? What if the invitation is confusing because it asks different things? What if it's too abstract? What if they think it's too fluffy? So we initially tried to make the invitation simpler, essentially dumbing them down. We hoped that this would allow a more focused conversation where everyone else could contribute. As facilitators, we basically assumed that by simplifying the invitation, it would become easier for the group to come up with a decision and then move forward. But that didn't happen. On the contrary. This was when we started to understand something fundamental about liberating structures and something that lifts it well beyond a bunch of facilitation techniques. The first is that liberating structures are not about voicing opinions. I guess you could argue that they aren't really even about solving problems. They are about exploring a problem space together. The purpose is not to convince, to assign blame or to judge something or to reach a decision. The purpose is to make sense of a challenge together and to discover what options are available. Another insight is that liberating structures trust in and rely on the intelligence and creativity of the group as a whole. It's fine if individuals struggle with the structure or don't have a clear answer to an invitation. They can still participate in the conversation that ensues and contribute to the insight that emerged from the group as a whole. People that are unable to respond to an invitation themselves may still be able to ask questions or help others clarify their responses to the invitation. And finally, liberating structures assume that people are clever, intelligent, and caring. So they are perfectly capable of dealing with ambiguous, abstract and complex questions and metaphors. Characteristics of a good invitation. Over time, we've discovered some patterns in what makes a good invitation. And we're still learning and discovering and making mistakes. But here are four characteristics that we've identified so far. And before I start, I want to mention two things. The first of which is that Fisher Kua was a huge help in identifying these characteristics. And the second is that we'll share examples of powerful invitations after giving you the four characteristics so you can see the difference. The first characteristic is that a good invitation doesn't judge or frame a challenge in a particular way. So a question like "What do you like about X?" is too limited, as it only considers the positive aspects of something, but basically ignores everyone else. The second characteristic is that a good invitation opens avenues for thought instead of closing them. A question like "What is possible to solve X?" may seem like a good question, but it only opens one avenue, potential solutions, and it closes all the other ones. The third characteristic is that a good invitation is specifically ambiguous, in that it is specific about the problem space that people will be exploring, while at the same time being ambiguous about the perspective they should take. The perspective could be what is good about it, what is bad about it, what can we improve about it, what can we change about it, how do you feel about it? This ambiguity is usually introduced by offering different words in the invitation to trigger those different perspectives. And the fourth characteristic is that a good invitation is slightly abstract and relies on the intelligence of the group to figure it out. This abstraction also allows people to connect to the invitation from different levels of experience, from different perspectives and different parts of their brain. A question like "What question do you bring today?" really isn't abstract enough when you look at it from this perspective. So a consequence of these four characteristics is that good invitations tend to be longer and use more words than weaker invitations. For us as facilitators, this initially felt like a bad thing, but we've learned that it is nearly always much better in terms of the conversations they trigger and the degree to which everyone in the group actually feels engaged with them. Examples of powerful invitations. Now, with these four characteristics in mind, we've been coming up with invitations that are increasingly able to deepen the conversation that takes place during liberating structures. And interestingly, we also get fewer clarifying questions from participants when we present them. Here are some examples. The first one is, regardless of your experience, what seems important, useful, or challenging to you about liberating structures? Now you can clearly see in this invitation that there are different avenues. What is important? What is useful? What is challenging? So we use different words to trigger different avenues of thinking. And you can also tell that we're both curious about what's good about it, but also what people think is challenging. So people can connect to it from good experiences, but also from not so good experiences. Another example is, what is it that you need to stop doing to deepen or enrich interactions in groups? Now, curiously, this question seems quite closed. What is it that you need to stop doing? So it only asks you to think about things that you need to stop doing. But then we ask, to deepen or enrich interactions in groups. So there we basically give two potential avenues. What can you do what can you stop doing so that you can deepen interactions or enrich them? So again, it's about ambiguity, about giving people different directions to go into with their thinking. Another example is, share a story of a journey through or from a challenge that you faced while working with groups. What's nice about this invitation is that everyone can connect to it in one way or another. It doesn't have to be a big challenge, it can also be something small, can also be something with completely different groups. That's the nice thing about an invitation like this. And it's also a very metaphorical question. What is your journey? Share the story of your journey through and from a challenge that you faced. So it's also giving people this mental picture of a journey and the obstacles they faced and the things that happened to them during a journey. Another example of a powerful invitation is, what have you seen, heard, or observed during the first day of this workshop? Again, you see that we use different words. Seen, heard, observed. Now, they basically could result in similar answers, but they also could not. The nice thing is that some people see things very clearly. Other people hear things very clearly. And yet other people simply observe things, which could include things they see. But it could also include the way they feel about something or the energy that's in the group. So you're basically giving people different avenues of thinking and you're being specifically ambiguous. You want them to think about their first day of this workshop, but you also give them different directions to move into with their thinking. And finally, an example of a powerful invitation is, what is your experience with making an impact on a team without being part of it? Now, this is quite an specific question that we're asking, but because we keep it open, what is your experience with making an impact? We allow everyone in the group to engage. Some people may not have experience at all, and that's fine. Other people may have a lot of experience with it, or they may have a positive experience, or maybe a negative one. So again, this invitation gives people space to fill it with their own thinking and with their own experience, and that's what liberating structures are really all about. Helpful tips for writing good invitations. You may have already discovered that running a liberating structure is not the hard work. The hard work usually is in identifying a powerful invitation for people to think about. And if you have a string of liberating structures, to make sure that there is a connection in the invitations across the structures that you use in the string. So people often ask us, how do you do this? How do you come up with these invitations? And here are some of the things that work for us. The first one is that you have to accept that writing good invitations really takes most of the time. So picking a liberating structure is the simple part, and then you have to reserve a lot of space to think about invitations. A second tip is that there is a document circulating in the community that contains a lot of nice examples of potential questions that you can ask. It only gives you the starting of the sentence, but what you can do is take 10 different stems of those questions and try to complete as many of them within 30 seconds. You can repeat that process or share them with a group of facilitators that you're preparing with to spark creativity about the things that you can ask. A third tip is that you can work on invitations with others. It's really helpful to bounce ideas off each other, and if you're on your own, you can make use of the Liberating Structures community that exists on Slack, and I'll share the link to the Slack space in the show notes as well. And in our own process, while preparing for Liberating Structures immersion workshops and other workshops, we always spend a lot of time with the design team to think about different variations of questions, and this is really where most of our time goes into and most of our effort. A fourth tip is that you can check out some of the strings that we have already used for the various meetups of the Dutch Liberating Structures user group in the Netherlands. This is a good source of inspiration. You'll see that the quality may vary. Some of our earlier meetups, we probably also used quite closed invitations. But I think over time, we've made a really good journey forward with the whole community of Liberating Structures practitioners here to really deepen the interactions. And I think that checking out those strings is really good inspiration. I'll share the link for this also in the show notes. And finally, a tip is, if you can, join a local user group and join one of the upcoming meetups they have to practice and sharpen your invitations with the help of others. The user groups that are all over the world for Liberating Structures really exist to help people learn from each other and to give and get help. So getting help with invitations is really a good thing to do. Let's move to some closing thoughts. We as the liberators, as Barry and Christian, are by no means at the end of our journey to craft good invitations. But based on the feedback that we're getting from participants, we are improving. We hope that you benefit from our learning by listening to this podcast, and we're looking forward to see the invitations that you've come up with. Enjoy crafting good invitations, and especially the conversations that you'll see happening in groups when they start thinking and talking about those invitations. Enjoy. And with that, we've reached the end of today's episode. I really hope you learned something new about liberating structures and how to create powerful invitations. If you like this episode, please rate it on whatever platform you're listening on and share it with friends. It's also nice to help other people reach this content and start work on improving their own invitations that they create. If you like this show and you want to support us in making more of them, please check out our Patreon page. Patreon is a very simple platform where you can basically give us a couple of dollars a month to support us. And, well, we do need it a little bit because due to Corona, our entire revenue has collapsed. We specialize really in-person, large-scale meetups and workshops, and none of that's possible right now. People are really hesitant to join meetups like that, even if it's already possible, for totally understandable reasons. But that's making it pretty hard and, quite honestly, a bit scary for Barry and me to see how the future will unfold. But we're really hoping for your support in this as well. So if you like our content enough to support it, check out Patreon at least to see what's possible. And if you can't, that's okay too. We'll make do, we'll figure something out eventually, but it's really nice to know that our community also has our back. And with that, we've reached the end. And thank you for listening, and we'll see you again for the next episode. Take care and stay safe. Bye!